Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
November 28th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, automation and a whole bunch of other stuff. That's right, I've got so much on my list today, your head is going to explode. I am going to talk about automation specifically for Photoshop, a little bit about Photoshop Elements, and then for those of you that are on the Mac, I'm going to talk about Auto, the Automator too, which is a very cool application that is included with OS X that can help you automate across applications. You know, the thing about Adobe Photoshop Actions that you have in Photoshop CS, actually in 7, CS1, CS2, they all have the Actions palette. That allows you to automate processes within Photoshop. And that's very handy because there's a lot of boring stuff that we have to do sometimes in Photoshop, and it's very nice to be able to automate that a little bit, to script it a little bit. But the thing about Automator is that it allows you to automate things across applications. So you can do a little Photoshop here, do a little preview here, do a little stuff on the desktop, stitch it all together, and then you have this bigger automation workflow. So I like both of them. I like working within Photoshop, definitely, but sometimes I like being able to go across applications, use Automator, and get a whole bunch of stuff done while I watch the basketball game on TV. So we're going to talk about both of those today, but I have all sorts of other stuff to cover first, and I'm going to get to it right now. First things first, it's the holiday season. Yes, that's right. For those of us that are in the U.S., we just celebrated Thanksgiving, which is absolutely one of my most favorite holidays because you get to eat, you get to drink, you get to hang out with people you like, and that's it. None of the other stuff messing around with it. It's one of the purest, cleanest, fun, social, eating, drinking holidays on the books, and we just came off it, and I had a terrific time, and it just sort of got me all in the holiday spirit. And I guess that's the other cool thing about Thanksgiving, is that it sort of gets you in the mood for, you know, what follows for the rest of the year. So I was thinking, we have to have some holiday specials for our virtual camera club. You know, we just can't say, oh yeah, the holidays are here, yeah. You know, we have to actually do something about it. We have to make something happen here. So what I'm going to do is I have a few special offers for the holidays, fun things. I got all sorts of fun stuff, actually. And this is stuff that I only cover on the podcast. And you notice that I do this every now and then. This is for only people who actually endure me, you know, verbally. You know, not just the written word, but actually have to listen to me. You know, if you do that, it seems like you deserve something special. So I have some stuff just for podcast listeners, and I'm just going to run through this right now. First thing I want to mention, the Digital Photography Pocket Guide. As many of you know, it's a book that I wrote. It's actually one of the favorite books that I've ever written. It's in the third edition. It took me three editions to really get it the way that I want it. And if you go down on the homepage of the Digital Story, at the bottom, you see a little line of books, and the Digital Photography Pocket Guide will be right there. You click on it, it takes you right to my link on Amazon.com, where, you know, you can just buy it right there for $10.17, I think is what it's going for right now. It is a fabulous stocking stuffer. It's a nice gift to yourself. You know, it's really very handy, and it actually does fit in a stocking, in a camera bag, all that sort of stuff. People love it. It's a very popular book. But I was thinking, if you were to buy that book, wouldn't it be great if you had it signed by the author? Because, you know, that's always kind of fun, especially when you're giving it away as a gift. Ah, well, my publisher, O'Reilly Media, has a really great workaround for this sort of stuff. They have these things called author plates. They're really cool looking. They're very nice and sort of, you know, very authory looking. And what you do is they have adhesive on the back. So what I can do is I can actually sign this author plate, and it says official O'Reilly author, you know, yada, yada, yada sort of thing. And then I can give it to somebody, and if they have one of my books, they can put it inside the book, and then the book becomes a signed edition. And not with just a regular signature, but with, you know, all this kind of cool-looking official stuff around it. So here's the offer. From now to the end of the year, if you buy one of my books, and especially the Digital Photography Pocket Guide, but if you buy any of them, and you just drop me a note, you know, Derek@thedigitalstory.com, you know, you can just get all that stuff off the submissions page, and send me your address and say, I'd like an author plate. I bought, you know, this book or that book, or I bought 10 of this book or that book, which I think that would be really nice. You know, I mean, you know, 10 people, right? And then ask me to send you that many signed author plates, and I will. I'll get them out to you right away. And if you want me to put anything special on it, like, you know, to George, you know, you're the greatest photographer I know, except for me, or something like that, you know, then, you know, I'll sign that, and I'll send it to you. You can put it in the book, and then you have a nice personalized gift to give somebody, and it only costs you about $10. Okay, now that's only till the end of the year, and that's only for people who actually listen to the show. Okay, next thing. So I just got back from Ojai, where I recorded with Scott Bourne the Aperture 1.5 video training. It's the Beyond the Basics. And I think it's going to be a really great title. It should be out by Macworld, which is really fine because I'm teaching a two-day Aperture workshop at Macworld San Francisco, and I'd love to have that video training ready for that. But I still have left over some Aperture 1.1 trainings, which are really nice. They're like 7 hours or something of video training. Lynda.com was selling them, I think, for $145. They cover all the basics, and even though Aperture has had a rev, it's at 1.5 now, about 90% of what we had in the video training is still absolutely the way it always has been. It's still that way. So instead of selling those for, you know, at regular price or whatever, just having them hang out, I thought, wouldn't it be great if I made it available, signed copies for $35 until I'm out of inventory for anyone who wants to get started with Aperture. So all you have to do is just write me, send me your mailing address, and you know, we'll hook up. I'll get you the video training. It's a nice DVD. In nice packaging and everything. And I'll make sure that the packaging is signed by me. And, you know, I'll just have you send me a check for $35, and off we go. So if you want to get started with Aperture, and you want to grab this video training, this Aperture 1.1 training, you can get it for $35. All you got to do is send me a note. And make sure on any of these things, pocket guide or Aperture training, whatever, make sure you have a nice, clear subject line, because we get lots of mail here at The Digital Story. Next thing on the list, photo assignment, juxtaposition. The entries are rolling in, some really good-looking stuff. This is going to be a very strong month, I have a feeling. They've all been lately, all been really good stuff. But juxtaposition is kind of fun, and it's a great topic, and I love the creativity that people are putting into this stuff. Seems like to me most of the submissions I'm getting for the assignment are things that people have just recently shot, which I like even more, because that's really the whole idea, is to take a subject, think about it, go out and shoot it, and then turn it in. So you have till the end of this month, to the end of November, to get your photo assignment in for juxtaposition. And again, just go to the submissions page on thedigitalstory.com, and it'll have all the info you need there to get that bad boy turned in. Speaking engagements. Man, I got a whole slew of speaking engagements coming up in the first part of January, and I just want to run this stuff by you. You know, first of all, Macworld this year is January 8th through 12th, Macworld San Francisco. It's at the Moscone Center in San Francisco. It is generally a great time to be in Northern California. If you're not a Northern California person and you're thinking about coming out, January is usually a really great time. I say that I'm knocking on virtual wood here to make sure it doesn't rain, because most of the time it doesn't rain. Most of the time it's gorgeous, but, you know, you never know. And as soon as I say something, of course, you know, the gods are going to hear and say, ah, we'll make it, you know. So anyway, normally it's a great time to be here. And we got lots of stuff going on at Macworld this year. We're going to have the digital photography experience. I got a whole bunch of photographers coming in for this that you'll be able to hang out with and talk to. And all you need is a regular expo pass to get in, which is like $25 or $35, and that it's good for the whole week. And you can hang out with these photographers at the Digital Photography Experience. I'm going to be speaking in the O'Reilly booth as well as a lot of other photographers. So there's something else right there. And we'll have all of our schedules and stuff posted there at the show. And I'm actually going to try to post some stuff ahead of time on the digital story. I'm also speaking at the Apple Store in San Francisco on January 10th. I think that's a Wednesday at 5 p.m. And not only am I going to be speaking, I'm going to have Stephen Johnson there, who's one of the pioneers of digital photography. Eddie Tapp's going to be there, who's got a new series of books, of Photoshop books, with O'Reilly, a very well-known Canon photographer. Ken Milburn's going to be there. I think Mikkel Ahlen might be there. It's really going to be a great lineup. We're going to have this panel discussion and then just hang out afterwards at the Apple Store in San Francisco on January 10th at 5 p.m. And we're also doing another talk at a store in Corte Madera, the Book Passage, which is a really great bookstore. It's only just a little bit, probably half an hour north of San Francisco, not even that far probably. It's really easy to get to. And we're speaking there on January 7th at 7 p.m. That's a Sunday. That's right before Macworld. So you could come in early, you could go to the Book Passage, hang out with the photographers there, and then just roll right into Macworld. So I'll try to get all the stuff posted on the site in the show notes so you can refer to it. But if you were ever thinking about coming out for a Macworld, this would be a really good one because we got a bunch of shooters that are going to be there. And I think there's going to be some really good Apple announcements too. Lots and lots of fun in early January. Now, here's the extra goodie for members of our virtual camera club. And there's, by the way, there's a whole bunch of us. There's like over 10,000 people a day visit the site. And I would consider about 80% of them members of this virtual camera club we have going. So the digital story is really become a great watering hole for people who love photography. But what I wanted to say is that, I have all these events, the Macworld event all week. By the way, I'm teaching an aperture training on that Monday and Tuesday. The Apple Store event and the Book Passage event. Anytime along the line, if you happen to come out for this, please come up and say hi. And if you come up and say hi I'm a member of the Virtual Camera Club or the member of the Digital Story or I listen to your podcast, whatever, I'm going to be carrying the cool carabiner keychains with me, and I'll have one for you. So come up and say hi. I'll turn you on to a keychain, and we just say add another face to the voice, and for me, I get to know another one of you in real life, which I just really dig that. So if you see me any time at all during all those Macworld related events, come up and say hi. I'll have a keychain for you, and just my way of saying great to have you part of this wonderful virtual camera club. Hoo-wee. All right. I told you I had a bunch of stuff. Okay, let's talk about automation for just a second. I want to start with Photoshop because I think Photoshop CS or Photoshop 7, if you have just decided to bypass the last two upgrades, really has some great automation tools in there. And I use them a lot for doing things like converting my color images to black and white, for resizing images. If I want to sample them down and say I have, like this full size 8-megapixel picture, and I want to sample it down for publishing on a website. If I have certain types of adjustments that I want to apply to a bunch of pictures, let's say a color correction, all sorts of things like that, the automation tools within Photoshop are fabulous for that. They're really great. And all you have to do is, launch Photoshop, Photoshop CS, CS2, or 7, and the first place I suggest you start is go up to the window command up at the top there, and you'll get a pop-up menu that takes you, and you'll see actions. Usually it's very much near the top of the menu. And this is the actions menu is sort of the heart of everything that's going on within Photoshop Actions. Now, they give you some default actions to start with. And some of them are pretty cool, and they're great to especially be able to test on how they work. So all you have to do is, let's say, open a picture and then scroll through the default actions here until you find something that you like. What's new? Oh, I don't know. Automation workspaces, whatever. You can just run just about anything here. And all you do is select the action that you want to run, and then you go down to the bottom, and you'll hit the little sideway icon, which is the play icon, just like we're used to on anything else. And what Photoshop will do, it will actually create that, it will make that action happen. It will apply it to your photograph that you're doing automatically, and you can just sit there and watch it. Now, the default actions are great for just sort of getting to know your own thing, getting to know, what's happening here, what's available, how this thing works. But then after that, you want to start creating your own actions. And this is what I think is really fun about Photoshop Actions. You go ahead and, open a photograph. And then what you want to do is, let's say you have a series of things that you want to do. Let's say that you want to size it down. You start really simple. Start with something like, where you use image resize. And so you take it down from full size to, let's say, 640 pixels wide, something like that. And then let's say that you want to apply automatic levels adjustments. Okay, maybe just a nice little two-step thing like that. So open your photograph, and then you go open the Actions menu. Again, and then down at the bottom, right to the left of the play arrow, there's a button. And if you press that button, it will begin recording. It will record basically everything that you do. So you hit the record button, and then you go through and you do the steps that you want to become an automated action. You just do them. You keep them going. You walk through all the steps and everything. And once you're done, once you've done everything that you want to do, you hit the button again, and it stops the recording. And what you'll see then is that you have a new action. Now, when you first hit the button, it'll probably ask you for some information, like to name the action and all that kind of stuff. Go ahead and give it a nice label. And, I think it by default will save it in the default actions. I like to create a new folder called, Derek's Actions and save them in there so I can keep mine saved. And you have all those options in the dialog box that open. It's very, very cool. Now, another way to go with the Photoshop actions, when you have the actions palette open, is up at the right corner, up in the upper right-hand corner, you notice another little button with a sideways triangle on it. And if you click on that, you will get this whole menu of action-related stuff. You'll get the new action, new set, duplicate, delete, play, start recording, all this sort of stuff. So it's a very easy way to control your actions, because you can re-record them, you can take out steps, you can do all sorts of stuff with these actions. So don't forget about that little button in the upper right-hand corner. For creating new actions, it's another way to go. Or for altering actions that you already have. Or if you just want to do something and you don't know where the control is, go to that button, and chances are the thing that you want to do will be in that pop-up menu. Okay, now, here's the other thing. Once you've created some actions in Photoshop, there's another thing I want to turn you on to right here. And you go back to the File menu. Now, this time, in the File menu, you go all the way down to Automate. And then you'll see another pop-up menu, and you'll get Batch. You'll see Batch. Now, you have some other things here under Automate. They're all very cool. Yeah, this is where you do photo merging, to make panoramas. This is where you can merge photos together to make an HDR image. You have all sorts of stuff under Automate, but right now I want you to open the Batch. Okay, when you open Batch, what that allows you to do is take an action that you've created, let's say this resize and add, automatic levels adjustment to. You take that action, and then you can apply it to a whole bunch of photos. Because the way the actions normally work is you open the photo, you go to the Actions menu, you run the action, you hit the play button, it applies the action, then you close that image, then you open the next one, and so on and so forth. It works fine. It's a fine way to go, but it's not the most automated way there is to process a whole bunch of photos. what's so cool about the automate or the batch processing under automate is that then it allows you to take that action and apply it to a whole folder worth of photos. So a lot of times what I'll do, if I want to process, let's say 25 images, let's say I want to image resize them all down to a different size. So I make sure that they're all in one folder, all the work that I want to do, and I give it a name like, you know, to be processed, let's say. And then I create another folder on my desktop, you know, for results or batch processed or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then you go to this batch processing dialog box, and basically you choose the source folder, which is where your images are. You choose the destination folder, which is where you want the new images to go. You have a few little commands, such as, you know, how you're going to control the open for the files and stuff like that. And if you want color profile warnings to be suppressed, yes, that's the answer to that. And other goodies like that. And you also get to choose if you want to stop for errors or just kind of just roll on through. You set that all up, and then you click the OK button, and then Photoshop goes to work, and it works on all the images, does the whole thing. And you can sit there and watch it. It's really fun. It goes, you know, because it goes like super fast. It goes like a lot faster than you could ever go. Even if you drank a whole bunch of coffee, you still couldn't go that fast. You know, it's really fast. So, you know, you're just sort of watching this speed by on your computer. And, you know, I just do it like while a basketball game's on or something like that. So then I can watch the game. And as soon as Photoshop's done doing that, then, you know, I take those images and put them on a website or whatever my next thing is going to be. So it gives me nice little breaks where I don't have to do all the mundane stuff when I'm working on a big project. It's really handy. So, you know, the first thing to do is build some actions just start with real easy ones, real basic ones. In the Photoshop Actions dialog box, the window that pops up. And then once you do that, apply those actions to a folder worth of pictures using the batch process command. And then next thing you know, you go to, you know, where the results, the destination folder is, you open it up, and all your work is there, done. It's like Martha Stewart, where, you know, she just has all this batter and everything and, you know, all this stuff. And then she goes to commercial break and you come back and she pulls the cake out of the oven. It's just like that, only it's your pictures. And it's really a lot of fun. If you haven't tried it yet, you're really missing out on what I think one of the coolest features of Photoshop CS. Now, if you're not a regular Photoshop CS user and you have Photoshop Elements instead, which is a fabulous program and basically has almost everything you'd ever need in Photoshop, with the possible exception of batch processing and automation, which it does have some stuff. And if you go to the file menu in Photoshop Elements and you kind of go down there, you will see some automation tools, PDF slideshow, and you know, allowing to tap a plugin to create a new layer on image. And, you know, it does have some, you know, contact sheet stuff, process multiple images kind of thing. It doesn't have the depth or the flexibility of regular Photoshop, but it does have some stuff. And I think the one that's most interesting to me is the process multiple files. And if you pull that up, and again, it's under the file menu, and take a look at it, it looks at first a lot like the batch processing command that you have in full-blown Photoshop. It does give you, it starts out, and you have the source folder that you get to call out, just like you did before, and you have the destination folder. So, you know, that setup is just like what you do in Photoshop, regular Photoshop CS. Then it has some kind of pre-configured processing that you can do. It allows you to automatically rename files, which is pretty darn handy. It allows you to do the image resizing. Now, we had to build an action for that in Photoshop CS. In Photoshop Elements, it's actually built into the application. It's built into this process multiple files dialog box. One of the options that you have is to resize images. It also has another built-in option to convert the file type. So you can convert the files, let's say, from Photoshop files to JPEGs or from JPEGs to TIFFs, whatever you want to do. That's built in there also. And then off to the side, they give you one other nice little panel called Quick Fix, and it allows you to apply auto levels or auto contrast, auto color, or auto sharpening or sharpening to your images. And that's about it. You don't really get to configure it the way that you can in Photoshop CS. But, you know, just listening to that list as I rattle through it, there's quite a bit of stuff that you can do there. And actually, a lot of times, most of the stuff that we need to do is change the file name, is change the file type, you know, resize our images. So if you have Photoshop Elements, don't despair. Don't think that you don't have any batch processing, because you do have some. And you really should explore it, and you'll probably find out once you dig into it that there's probably more there than you realize, and it's probably more useful than you realize. Now, I'm looking at Photoshop Elements for the Mac, which is currently the 4.0 version, and then on Windows, they're up to the 5.0 version. And I haven't looked at it recently, but I think there's lots of good stuff in there, too. Take a look at it, and I think you'll find that you can take a lot of your kind of mundane work and get to it through this file menu, and you can still watch basketball, even if you have Photoshop Elements. Okay, finally, this last piece is for Mac users only, and this has to do with Automator, and this is for Mac OS X users. Automator comes with your OS. It's an application. You'll find it in your applications folder. And the little icon is, that's Otto. That's Otto the Automator. He's quite adorable. And all you have to do to work with Automator is, first of all, open it up. And I suggest that you just sort of browse through it initially. You'll see basically three window panes. To the far left, you'll see Library. And there you have all of your actions are sort of organized by applications, basically. So if you click, for instance, on iPhoto in the library pane, then in the pane that's next to it, the action pane, you will see a number of actions that you can use for iPhoto. Things like, you know, get selected photo, create new photo album, play iPhoto slideshow, stuff like that. So the way that it works is that when you see one of these actions that you want, you double-click on it, and then it appears over here in the workflow space, which is the bigger window to the far right. Now, these actions are pretty cool. What they do is you just hook them together. They're like Legos. And you can start out, again, very simple with just two or three actions, and you can organize them in the workflow window. And then when you get it the way that you want, you hit the Run button. Now, the best way to use Automator, I think, is usually to start out small, just doing something with one application, and then as you get the hang of that, you can build bigger workflows, again, like Legos, right? You start out with something, you know, kind of small, but then you can, next thing you know, you're building these giant fire trucks with, you know, hook and ladders and stuff. But if you start out small, I think you can get the hang of it, and then pretty soon you can be building some pretty outrageous actions. Now, another thing about Automator is that a lot of people are building workflows for you. And you can just go grab those workflows, bring them into your Automator library, run them. But the other thing about it is that even if that workflow isn't exactly what you want, you can alter it. And the nice thing about workflows created by other people who are really passionate about automation is that they have basically the whole thing worked out for you. And then all you have to do is customize it by changing a step or two to make it do what you want it to do. The folks at Apple, they're so proud of this Automator workflow that they've created, this tool that they've created. They've made it really easy for you to get these predefined actions that I was talking about. And I'm going to walk you through it right now. It's so easy, I can describe it to you on the podcast here. All you have to do is fire up your Mac, go to the Apple that's in the upper left-hand corner of your screen, and you'll see in that drop-down menu, the third item down there is Mac OS X software. Right there. All you got to do is click on that. It'll launch your web browser. Most likely it'll launch Safari. And it'll bring you to this page called Mac OS X Downloads. And here you have all sorts of stuff. OS X freeware, shareware, demos, widgets, the whole deal. But you'll notice that on the left-hand column, under categories, the second thing down there is Automator Actions. You click on that, and you will strike gold. It will take you to this page that has Automator Actions for all sorts of stuff. And they're, most of them are free. Almost all of them are free. There are some that are shareware. And you can just browse this. You have all sorts of things. And, you know, the ones I'm looking at right now, you know, like bill collector action and create image icon workflow and rotate files, save the web, screensaver now, on and on and on. You know, a lot of these are freeware. They tell you right there. You just click the download button. It downloads them. You have them available in your Automator workflow, and off you go. It is so cool. You've got to try it. You've got to try it. Even if you don't use it for photography, use it for other stuff, because you can use it for any, basically any application workflow on your Mac, and it's really worth playing around with. Okay, look at this. I'm out of time. See, I told you I had too much stuff for today. I want to thank both of our sponsors, Photomagico by Boinks Software. That's B-O-I-N-X, the best slideshow software for the Macs, for the Mac, and you can find them at photomagico.com. There's a link right there on the homepage of the Digital Story. And also ExpoDesk, the handy color management device for the front of your camera. It's a wonderful thing. You will get color balance right every time with ExpoDesk. New sponsors to the Digital Story, really glad to have them. And guess what? We also have a tile for ExpoDesk right there on the cover of the Digital Story. Make sure that you check them out. Lots to think about. Make some plans maybe. Hope to see you in January. Take advantage of the special offers. Keep taking pictures, and I will see you here next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.